I want to continue our studies in the book of Galatians, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 of chapter 5, Galatians 5, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ hath profited you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. But we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." I want to concentrate our thoughts on verse 5, where it says, "We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." I want to just emphasize the fact that the word "wait" is in the present tense, so it's an ongoing thing. We are waiting, not for the hope. We have that already. Everybody's hoping something, hoping for something. But we're hoping for things that we don't have. And we're hoping for the righteousness, which is of faith, and we don't have it yet. When we were saved, our slate was clean. And we were righteous then. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can judge ourselves while we're in the way. And when we confess sin, our slate is clean. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks upon standing in His presence approved. We did more than just confess sin. We lived by faith. Living by faith is not just confessing sin. It's part of living by faith. But living by faith is pleasing Him, doing things He likes. And of course, He doesn't like sin, but He doesn't like us running to and fro and wringing our hands and trying to solve our own problems and fretting and letting our imaginations control us when He wants to be in charge. So, we, through the Spirit, are waiting, present active, for the righteousness which is of faith, and that is what we're hoping for. That is a hope. Now, waiting for the righteousness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, or through, or by means of faith, of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe," which is also in the present tense. In other words, they continue to believe. Part of the hope and part of the righteousness of God has to do with, are you faithful in believing what God's Word says? Are you trusting what He has told us? Or are you trying to change what the book says? I'm becoming more and more aware of the fact that people today are even changing or modifying what the grammar is to make verses mean what they want them to mean. In fact, there are modern translations that are very popular today that add words to verses to make them say what they want them to say. And they totally ignore the fact that what they do say sometimes contradicts the Bible, which they honor. They do appreciate the Bible. But the righteousness of God which we are looking for is dependent upon waiting in the present tense. It's depending upon believing in the present tense. Continually believing and trusting the Lord. In Romans chapter 4:11, circumcision, the seal of righteousness of faith, which he that is Abraham had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, in the present tense. So the righteousness of faith is for those who believe in the present tense, that the righteousness of faith might be imputed unto them who continue to believe. And notice that it says might be. The reason I believe it's might be is because we may stop believing in the present tense. We may stop waiting for the righteousness which is of faith. We might lose hope, and that's easy to do. In Romans chapter 4, verse 12, it says, them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also, that is the ones, walking, in other words, these are the ones who are continuing to walk. The word walk is a present active participle, and that means continuous action. And these that are walking in what? Faith. They're walking in such a way as that they're pleasing God, and it's a continual thing. Now what happens when you sit down on the faith? When you, instead of standing on the promises, you start sitting on the premises. Whatever. If you're not walking in the faith and you're seated, then you're not pleasing God. That's the whole idea that I'm emphasizing here. We are to be walking in the present tense. We're to be believing in the present tense. We're to be waiting in the present tense. Continuous. And walking in the steps of faith of our father Abraham. Now that doesn't mean that our walk is going to be perfect, because we have Abraham as a good example. Abraham didn't do a very good job at times. We shouldn't be going down into Egypt for help. Our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth, right? And when we start going into Egypt, into the world for help, then we often get ourselves in trouble. We have multitudes of examples of that of the nation of Israel, who went to Syria, who went to Egypt. I mean, they're constantly looking to their neighbors who fail them over and over again. The Lord said that Egypt is like a reed, and it's got a sharp point on it, and you're hanging on top of that reed. What's it going to do? It's going to go right through your hand. It's going to hurt you. And that's what we need to realize. So we're waiting, and by waiting we are pleasing God, because we are faithful to the task of waiting for the hope of righteousness. In other words, we haven't gotten it yet, but we will if we will continue. Now, we mention in these verses the word believe in the present tense. And I want to, and we've already talked about the fact that you can stop walking, but you can also stop believing, or you can do that for a while and quit. And I wanted to include verse Luke 8:13 so you can see this, so you can have this verse. When they hear, receive the word, and it's the word of the kingdom with joy, and these have not root, or have no root, which for a while believe, present active, and in the time of temptation or tribulation, they fall away. Present active. Now, they're hearing for a while, obviously, and with joy receiving the word of the kingdom, because this is the parable of the sower. It has to do with the word of the kingdom. And but notice, they have no root. They have no foundation. Their roots are just scattered around on top of the earth. And when the sun beats in, when there's not enough rain, they shrivel up. Bible study, Bible reading is essential. If you're not doing that, your roots are on the surface. And you're not going to make it. You're not going to continue waiting. You're not going to continue believing. You're not going to continue in the faith. You're not going to continue walking. I've thought about how to include Saul, King Saul. King Saul couldn't wait. And he got himself in trouble. Because King Saul couldn't wait, he lost the kingdom. Period. That's what happened. He couldn't wait for Samuel to come to offer the sacrifices, and so he lost something that he wanted, and we will do the same thing. Notice that troubles can cause us to quit hoping. Troubles can cause us to quit waiting. We become distracted. But notice that the falling away is in the present tense as well. It's not an event. Falling away is a process. It's just like the frog in a beaker of water. You heat the beaker of water with a frog in it, and he'll cook to death. But you drop a frog in a hot water into hot water, that frog will jump out or try to jump out of that beaker, right? Well, falling away is the process of we're really not aware of the fact that we're loosening up, we're relaxing. Relaxing what? Our waiting, our hope, our believing, our walking. We begin to slip. We begin to let go. We begin to let other things move into our life. Now, part of this has to do with hope. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And there are a lot of people that want to take the word hope and make it mean something that it doesn't mean at all. People want to make the word hope a sure thing. And hope is not a sure thing. There are many verses that we could have used, but I just used Acts 24:26. When he, that is Felix, hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Therefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. What happened? Paul didn't give him a dime. He enjoyed going and talking to him about the things of the Lord. Now, I don't know about that. Didn't say that. But Paul didn't give him anything. And Felix's hope was frustrated. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." Part of the hope, we depart from the faith, our hope is frustrated. In other words, it's not a sure thing. So, departing from the hope, departing from the faith, and they continue to depart from the faith when the hope is frustrated. Now, we're waiting for approval. I mentioned also already that the word wait is a present middle, and the middle voice is very important. The middle voice means that I'm doing it for myself. Middle voice, me, myself. I'm waiting myself for the hope for the righteousness which is of faith. I'm waiting for promotion. In other words, if we are approved, if we have lived by faith, we have walked in the steps of faith, we will be approved and we will be promoted. In Romans 8:23, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting, present middle, for the adoption. Adoption is not what we think of in this country. Adoption is not adopting a child to be our child. Adoption is not getting into the family of God. We're born into the family of God. Adoption doesn't even come into play when it comes to being saved. Adoption has to do with being placed in a position of a son. And that's the hope that we have. I hope one day to hear from my God that I have been an overcomer and that He is my God and that I am His son. And if I am His Son, I will rule and reign in the heavenlies with Him. So we're waiting for the promotion. And it's to be done in the present tense. And when will that take place? It didn't take place when I got saved. It takes place when my body's redeemed. And I'm going to assure you, beloved, my body has not been redeemed. I can still feel it. In places I didn't when I was younger, if you know what I'm saying. Now, we need to have hope. And having hope then means to wait. In Romans 8:25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What is it we don't see? We don't see the sons of God being made evident. We don't see ourselves being promoted yet. We have not been placed in a position of son. And so therefore, with patience, that is endurance, we're waiting. Again, the word waiting here is the present middle. I'm doing it for myself. I cannot do it for you. I cannot be faithful for you. You're the only one that can be faithful for yourself, and you're doing it for yourself. Now, waiting by means of faith. That's what I believe this verse is telling us. What does faith do for us to encourage us to wait? Well, I've looked at Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The faith provides substance or support of the things hoped for. And the word hope there is in the present tense as well. And it modifies the things. It's actually an adjective. It doesn't have the definite article in front of it. That's a lot of technical stuff. But the things that we're hoping for, faith gives evidence or support for it. Excuse me. In other words, I look at it this way. Faith provides substance to things that I'm hoping for. Substance means I can touch it, feel it. You know, if a substance we can handle. So faith, even though I can't see it, provides substantial evidence that it's there. Just like this pulpit. I can do that, and it substantiates the fact that it's there. And then, because I do have faith and hope, it affects the way I live. I'm going to be walking, present active, in what? In the steps of faith. That is, the steps of believing that the substance of ruling and reigning with Christ, of being placed in the position of a son, is a reality in the future. Now, I've already mentioned it and alluded to it, that without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, that's the evidence of faith, must believe that He is, that is substance, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seeking the Lord is evidence of my faith. So there's some application in this one verse. Now, the righteousness that we're looking for is not the righteousness which comes with confession of sin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're seeking for the righteousness that is of faith, that comes by pleasing God. Now, Matthew chapter 6, there, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Two things, the kingdom and the righteousness. The reason why we're seeking the righteousness is that's what qualifies us for the kingdom. I had a friend of mine say that he was talking to a friend of his, and he says, you know, the word seek in Matthew chapter 3, verse 33 is in the present tense. He says, well, you don't have to seek the kingdom, you're already saved. They think seeking the kingdom is getting saved. That's just not the case. And but we're to continue to seek. That's the present active. ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, those two things. If you don't have the righteousness which is of faith, you will not enter the kingdom and to rule and reign. You'll see the kingdom. If you're born from above, you'll see the kingdom. But if you don't live by faith, you're not going to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, we have justification or approval by faith. And when it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed, erst. That is, we've been saved when we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith. In other words, we get saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then our justification is based upon our lifestyle after we are saved. In other words, I put in for comment, having been saved, we might be justified. That is, to stand approved by faith of Christ. In other words, getting saved does not justify you. Getting saved does not make you or give you the righteousness which is of faith. Because the righteousness we're talking about has to do with faith. And faith can fail. In Colossians 1, verses 22 and 23, it says, in the body of His flesh through death, He died on the cross, and His death on the cross made grace workable. Because if grace is vain, His death is vain too. But it's not. He died, why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That's not period. It's verse 23. It's conditional. If ye continue in the faith. There are many that want to say that this is a first class conditional, and they want to change the word if to since. That means, since ye continue in the faith. I know that that's just not true. There are plenty of people that are not continuing in the faith. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and not moved away from the hope. We can move away from the hope. We can not be grounded. Our roots can be on the surface. And we can be unsettled. Let me tell you, the devil wants to unsettle you. The devil wants to trouble you. He knows that when we are troubled, our thoughts are not on seeking first the kingdom and the righteousness which is of faith. So we are to continue in the faith, Romans 1:17. For therein, that is the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith. It's out of faith leading to faith. When I think about out of faith and leading to faith or continuing in faith, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is, continuing in His faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we are to continue in that faith, because the righteousness will not be revealed to us if we will not experience the righteousness which of faith if we make shipwreck of the faith. In fact, in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. We have to be encouraged. We have to be exhorted to continue. What? Pleasing God. Our tendency is not to please God. I think this verse, Luke chapter 22, verse 32, is a new verse for me. It's interesting when you think about what Jesus prayed for Peter about. The Lord says, I have prayed for thee, and He's talking to Peter, that thy faith fail not. You know what that means? Your faith can fail. Jesus didn't say He was praying that your faith wouldn't fail. He was praying for Peter's faith not to fail. Did you know that your faith can fail? Your faith, you can fail to live by faith, and you stop pleasing God when your faith fails. So we need to continue in the faith. And we do that through the Spirit. In Galatians 5:5, it says, "For we through the Spirit," the word "through the Spirit" is one word, and it's the word "Spirit" in the dative case. In the dative case is a prepositional phrase, and it has, and you can translate it "in," "at," "with," "by," "to," "for." Those are the prepositions that goes with that case. But I believe that it's more applicable in the instrumental part of it, which is "in" or "with" the Spirit. "In the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness." Now, I want to say that I am not persuaded that this is the Holy Spirit. Because my observations in the book of Galatians is that the word "holy" occurs zero times in the book of Galatians. There are no references to the word "holy" in the book of Galatians. The word "Spirit" occurs 18 times in the book of Galatians. Now, we associate that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Well, the Spirit of His Son is the Holy Spirit. Well, I check to see if the word, or if the words "Holy Spirit" and "Son" occur in the same verse in the New Testament, and they don't. So, they do not occur together. So I'm sharing that with you so that you can see that the word "Spirit" here can be, and I believe, is a reference to another spirit. And I think it's a submissive spirit and not the Holy Spirit. I can relate to a submissive spirit when there are times when I am not sure that I'm experiencing the Holy Spirit. How do you experience the Holy Spirit? When you're bubbly? Or, you know, the Holy Spirit works, and the way I experience the Holy Spirit is when He is opening the truth to me. That new verse I gave you this morning out of Luke 22:32, the Holy Spirit gave that to me. You know why? Because I know He's the teacher. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And He gave me a verse of Scripture to help me with the lesson this morning, to know that my faith can fail and your faith can fail. And so therefore I experience the Holy Spirit that way. But now when it comes to the Spirit of the book of Galatians, it's the Spirit that allows us to say, "I know all things are possible unto thee," because of Mark 14:36. And He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee." Now that's confidence. That's what faith provides. Confidence. And then Jesus prayed, "Take this cup from me. This is something I don't like. I don't want it. I don't like it. It's interfering with me. It's distressing me." Well, Jesus continued to pray, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." It's the will of God. That's the Abba Spirit that the Father gave the Son, and that He has given us as well. When we're able to cry, "Abba, Father," and accept His will for our lives, let me tell you, you're walking in the steps of faith. We're following the steps of the Lord. He walked in that Spirit. And we need to walk in that Spirit too. It's a submissive Spirit. Now, another reason why I don't believe this is the Holy Spirit, because this Spirit is taught. In Galatians 3:2-3, "This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith, or the things heard." Is a better translating the word "hearing." It's not a verb. It's not a participle. It's a noun. The thing heard. Genitive singular. And it's the things heard about faith. So, this Spirit is ministered to us when we hear messages on faith. And more. which we will see in just a moment. He goes on in verse 3, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" In other words, at one time they were living in the Abba Spirit, or the submissive Spirit. Then in verse 5 in Galatians 3, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit." This Spirit is ministered to them. Now this is not the ministering of the Spirit of laying on of hands. Many people may want to teach that. But this ministering Spirit is ministered by the teaching ministry of Paul and others. He says here, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit," and by the way, this word ministereth is present, active. It's a continuing ministry. It's not an event of being, so-called people would say, baptized in the Holy Ghost or receiving the Holy Spirit. That's aorist. This has to do with ministering this Spirit. How? By teaching. And worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law, or out of the hearing, or the things heard. This is also a noun, generative singular, of faith. In other words, when you hear messages on faith, we're being ministered to, we're being ministered that Spirit that the Father gave the Lord. And it's a submissive Spirit. When you have faith, you are willing to submit to God's will. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17 is a reference to that teaching ministry. So faith comes from hearing, or the thing heard. This also is a noun. It's genitive singular. It's the same word that's used in Galatians chapter 3. And in verse 2 and in verse 5. And the thing heard, again used, a noun, genitive singular, is by the word of Christ, the spoken word. I think that we can, you know, and it's the word of God, but I think the word spoken is significant. You know what that is? That's preaching. Preaching is foolishness. I mean, when you just think about the world looking at people like us, we come in here and I get to stand up here and I preach the word, and they wonder, why in the world are they doing that? You know, that just seems like a waste of time. Yet you people submit to the ministry of preaching, and it's through preaching of the word of God or the word of Christ that provides you with faith and with hope. And it ministered to you the Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ had. It gives you confidence in God that He can do anything He wants to do. And He's not going to do anything that He doesn't want to do. I don't care how you cry and bawl and beg. You know why? Because I've tried that. And that don't work. Have you? If you've done much praying, you've been there. Well, you know what? I've had to say, "Lord, okay." We'll see what happens. "Lord, I trust you. I'm going to trust you. I know you're not changing it now." But, you know, I had back problems, but the Lord got around to fixing that pretty good the second time around. So I thanked Him, you know, I thank Him for it, and I go on with my life. So, it's through the Word of God. Now, what is the Word of Christ or the Word of God? The preaching of the Word of God. Well, I brought out Luke chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. I want you to see this. "And he said unto, said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and to others in parables, that seeing they might see, might not see, and hearing, they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven generate hope in what? in ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom. That's what the message of the kingdom was to the nation of Israel in Christ's day, and it has been open to Gentiles today. And so therefore, what kind of spirit do we need? We need a submissive spirit. And that submissive spirit comes through the preaching of the word of the kingdom. And it generates hope and anticipation and change of lifestyle as it is needed. May the Lord help us to apply this in our life from now on. And especially today and this week. And then we'll just continue to exhort each other to continue pleasing God by living or walking, present active, in the steps of faith. Father, I just pray that you'd bless the thoughts this morning out of your word, the word of God, the mysteries of the kingdom, that we might all be encouraged to be faithful to you in believing, in walking, in waiting, anticipating the hope of the righteousness of which is the righteousness of faith. That is, we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord, and to rule over much if we've been faithful even over little. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.